We now turn to a treatise by St. Bernard of Clairvaux, and this is only the second half of that treatise. It's the text On Loving God, one of his most famous texts, second perhaps only in fame to his commentaries, his homilies on the Song of Songs. In this text, St. Bernard has a fascinating progression that introduces a theme which we as moderns will necessarily want to raise in light of the material that we've looked at so far. We've noted in Evagrius and Cassian in particular that in the monastic tradition, the experience of sexual desire was seen as a symptom, as an indicator of the work yet to be done. It was not necessarily regarded as the most fallen or problematic, and indeed, in some ways, it was far less fallen, far less problematic of the temptations of the vices in terms of its misuse than that of vainglory or pride. But nevertheless, what we have not talked about is any concrete sense of how one moves from natural falling in love, the experience of sexual desire, which in human life is naturally not always, as Augustine reminded us, towards appropriate objects, towards the person with whom God is inviting us to live in lifelong matrimony. Since one does have this experience, the question naturally arises, how then does one not simply look at sexual experience, sexual desire, or even a history of sexual experience as an indicator of work to be done, but how does one move towards using this very powerful energy in the way God originally intended, recognizing that we are fallen, recognizing that we do need to engage in a program of spiritual improvement? And rather than attempting to address this in terms of giving a list of spiritual exercises or a series of practices, I think the most effective way of approaching this would be to remind ourselves that in the developing monastic culture, represented in a very powerful way by St. Bernard, there was a growth in proper love that occurs as one learns to appropriately love within community. And so Bernard, in the latter half of this treatise, sets up a series of four steps or degrees of love that you can see listed in the table of contents in numbers 8, 9, and 10. The first degree of love is the discovery that we only love God for selfish reasons. Then one goes on to the possibility of moving beyond that to what he calls a second and third degree of love. We then discover how it's possible to turn to God in a different way, to turn to God for higher reasons. And in his final sense of ascent, there is a discovery of one's capacity for loving that has been taken up into God so that one now loves out of a sense that is a reflection of the love that one has experienced coming from God. And we'll look at these this ascent and these degrees, particularly in their summary in chapter 14, and then I'll invite us to come back and look at the first stages, that is to say chapters 8 and 9 and 10, in a little more detail and at your own leisure when you have the opportunity to read this. This is not the only treatise, it's certainly not the most detailed treatise on this subject, but it's a reminder of a particular kind of monastic literature that has as its presupposition that it is in the experience of self-giving in community, in an experience of discovering that we are loved by God and that we can therefore minister to the brethren, that we begin to live out our capacity for loving. One might say in which our eros, our capacity for simply desiring, is slowly transmuted and transformed into a capacity for self-giving, for a kind of kenosis or even self-emptying love based on what we have experienced God giving to us. This, again, is not just something that happens on the basis of introspection. And that's why it's important to look at this literature and this tradition in addition to the more introspective, how am I making progress, what do I tell my spiritual director or spiritual father kind of approach that we've seen in Evagrius and Cassian. Here in Bernard, there is an experience of loving that occurs as we begin to act in compassion within community. There is a growth in love that takes place, which can only be taught in the context of living with those towards whom we can act in love, a movement from selfishness towards self-giving. So I'd suggest that we drop down to chapter 14, which is a kind of compendium or recapitulation of these four degrees of love. Being aware of what they are, we can then go back to the beginning and look at his description of these in a bit more detail. He says, we are carnal, and this is the beginning of chapter 15, actually, of the four degrees of love. Since we are carnal and are born of the lust of the flesh, it must be that our desire and our love shall have its beginning in the flesh. It is necessary that we discover our capacity to love, even to desire, as real, as something that is happening within our bodies and our affective life. But that's only the beginning. That is only a beginning. It's something we acknowledge. It's not only an indication of the spiritual progress we need yet to make, as it is for the Desert Fathers. It is certainly that. But it is a beginning, a starting place, which, he says, rightly guided by the grace of God through these degrees, will have its consummation, its finality, its full development in that which is spiritual. And we will become more like God. As he puts it, we must bear the image of the earthly first before we can bear the image of the heavenly. And then he gives a description of these four degrees. At first, and again this is in chapter 15, a man loves himself for his own sake. That is the flesh, beginning with a love of self. Remember the word porneia, which implied a kind of selfish possessiveness in regard to the other, where the other is perhaps not even regarded so much as a human being, but as an object or an instrument for a desired experience. That is the flesh, which can appreciate nothing beyond itself. Next, Bernard says, a human being perceives that he cannot exist by himself, and so begins by faith to seek after God, to love him as something necessary to his own welfare. This, he says, is the second degree. Not to love God, not for God's own sake, but selfishly. I love God because I discover I am not sufficient in myself. My own little universe of self-love turns out to be a kind of hell, a kind of place in which I cannot live or abide in any fundamentally human way. I need God, but I need God for myself. Then, when the person learns to worship God, to seek Him properly, meditating, reading God's Word, praying, obeying the commandments, this person comes gradually to know what God is and finds God altogether attractive. God is not just the one who lifts me out of this empty or even distasteful or horrible inward turning. God is beautiful and attractive in God's own sake. And so seeing, he says, how gracious is the Lord, quoting Psalm 34, a man advances to what he calls the third degree. We love God not merely as benefactor, not merely as savior from implosion within my empty self, but I begin to love God as God. And there's even a movement beyond this, of loving God beyond God, which consists, he says, and he particularly mentions this again towards the end of this chapter, is I then may be graced by God with the capacity to love self for God's sake. Then I begin to experience my own self, the origin of my own desiring, as something loved by God and capable of being loved. Now, this sounds very individual. This sounds very very introspective. And that's one way of describing these four degrees. But if now, having seen them compactly described in chapter 15, we go back up and look at chapters 8 and 9 and 10, and again, I'll invite you to do this on your own, you will see that his descriptions are not only individual or personal, but rather they are profoundly communal. In chapter 8, where he says the first degree of initially loving one's self, and then of moving towards loving God for our own self's sake, He also has the possibility of moving within this needing beyond the narrow landscape of my own desiring. I also find myself able to cherish tenderly the brother. I also find myself not only capable of, but invited to show ministry. Then we are, he says, to love our neighbors as we ought. We are invited by God to turn simply from self-love towards the God who lifts us out of self, but also the God who invites us towards love of and compassion for neighbor. And this is particularly found in the second rather long paragraph in chapter 8. We begin to love our neighbors as we ought and begin to have regard, therefore, for God. Then dropping down to chapter 9, here he describes the second and third degrees of beginning to love God, initially not for God's own sake, but for our own sake. Then we begin to discover who God is and how beautiful God is. But as Bernard describes it in these paragraphs or in these passages, it's not simply a question of what I experience subjectively. It's an experience of living within and discovering a capacity for loving within community that also invites me to look at the possibility of loving the other in God and the other for God's sake. So I'll invite you to look for that in this text. This is a reminder, again, of a whole species, a whole kind of spiritual literature in which the experience of what Bernard calls carnal loving is seen as a beginning, as something that encourages us to look out beyond the horizon of ourself, and then guided by God, enabled by an experience nourished and trained by the scriptures and participation in the sacraments, one begins to discover how this impulse of desire is also an opportunity for self-giving and discovering the significance of the other. This is particularly true in the theological understanding that's been particularly emphasized in modern days in the understanding of the sacrament of matrimony. And so we'll conclude this section with a look, a very brief look, at the section from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which represents a compilation of many different spiritual traditions within Roman Catholicism on the subject of chastity and of loving in a wholesome and both fully human way and a way that is fully consecrated and in a very real sense is a reflection of divinization and even divinizing in its effect.